heard it said there's no free lunch, but did you know there's no free investing either? I am Rob West. If you have money in a 401k, IRA, or a regular brokerage account, do you know what that costs you in fees and commissions? I'll pull back the curtain today on investing's hidden costs. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. So first, let me be clear. I'm certainly not trying to dampen your enthusiasm for investing. Just the opposite, really. I want you to feel confident that you're getting the most from your investing dollars. To do that, you need to understand that there's always a cost associated with any type of investment, even a qualified retirement account where taxes are deferred for many years. As I said, there's no such thing as a free lunch. So why bother telling you about those costs? Well, because they can and do vary greatly. Some brokerages may charge more than others to manage a retirement plan or a particular mutual fund. When you know what types of fees are charged, you can then shop around for investments with lower fees and commissions. Now, what are some of those common fees? Well, different investments have different types of costs. Mutual funds, for example, charge something called an expense ratio. This is the cost of managing the fund given as a percentage. Let's say you had a great year with a particular fund and made 10%. Probably not this year, but we're talking hypothetically here. So you made 10%, but the fund has a 1.5% expense ratio. That means you really only made 8.5%. Now, the fee isn't exactly hidden, but you'll never see it as a bill either. It's deducted from your assets. Other fees can be hidden within your expense ratio. One example is something called a 12B1 fee, and it's for marketing costs. That's where you get to pay your fund manager to promote it to other potential investors. You didn't know you were that generous, did you? Now, what about some other fees you may be paying without realizing it? Well, you also have annual and custodian fees. Annual fees typically run from $25 to $90 a year. Custodian fees are what retirement plan managers charge for complying with IRS reporting regulations. They usually run from $10 to $50 a year. Mutual funds tend to have other costs called purchase and redemption fees, and they're usually a percentage of the amount you're buying and selling. And you've probably heard the terms load and no load for mutual funds. A loaded fund is one where a commission is charged, and there are three types of these so-called loads. A front-end load is a single charge you pay when you purchase shares in a mutual fund. A back-end load, as you might expect, is a one-time fee you pay when you sell your shares. And then there's something called a level load fund. That's where there's an annual fixed percentage taken from your assets. A front load fee may run you 3 to 6% when you purchase shares. A back end load may cost you 4 to 6% when you sell your shares. A level load may run between 0.25% and 1% of your fund investment. And while that sounds like a great deal, remember, that's not a one-time fee. It's annual and charged each year you hold your shares, and that can add up. But what about no-load funds? Well, obviously, they're preferable to a load fund, but even no-load funds may still have some fees. For example, you may have to hold your shares for a period of time, often 5 years, or you'll be charged a commission. So what, if anything, can the average investor do about all of this? Well, obviously, you want to choose investments that have lower fees and commissions because, again, those costs can add up. Now, you might hear an argument that the higher the fees for an investment, the greater the return will be. In other words, you get what you pay for, because often those higher fees suggest the fund is more actively managed and therefore will perform better. Well, you'd think so, but studies show that's not the case. Some of the cheapest equity funds have outperformed the most expensive ones over long periods of time. Morningstar has determined that in most cases, you'll have greater earnings over time just by choosing funds with lower expense ratios. Simply put, cheaper is often better when it comes to fees and commissions. So I hope that encourages you to look carefully at your investment fees and choose wisely. Ben Franklin said, "A penny saved is a penny earned," and that's so true when it comes to investing. All right, your calls are next, 800-525-7000. You're listening to MoneyWise on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Stick around.
On American Family Radio, hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm here to help you understand how urgent and how fun it is to share your faith at every opportunity through the eyes of a layman. Because it is fun, it is urgent. No man knows the hour, but a lot's going on right now that suggests that the rapture might be getting real close. And if that's even a possibility, the urgency of reaching your unsaved friends and loved ones goes up exponentially. It's beyond comprehension the horrors that they'll face if they don't accept the Lord before the rapture. And that takes time. So you need to start taking that time right now to move every unsaved friend you have every day closer to Jesus. If you knew the rapture was happening tomorrow, you wouldn't hesitate, and it could be tomorrow. Here's the fun part. If you start doing this with all of your unsaved friends, some of them will accept the Lord. And when they do, that's celebration time both here and in heaven with the angels. Now that's fun. Now that's fun. There is nothing more exciting than knowing God is using you to move people closer to Him. Join us at IgniteAmerica.com.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. See, we don't have to engage in psychological brainwashing techniques and all this nonsense that the left traffics in because they're godless, for the most part. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. That's how we fight.
Tune in to The Awakening, weekdays at noon Central on American Family Radio.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options in plain English? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit MoneyWise.org and click the link that says Find a CKA. That's MoneyWise.org.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
Thrilled to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. That's 800-525-7000. Our team is standing by to take your call. We'll look forward to getting you on the air quickly. Today, we release Thursday our MoneyWise Weekly Wisdom email. You can sign up to receive your copy at moneywise.org. Just click the button that says Create Your Free Account, and you will be subscribed. Today, in our Weekly Wisdom email, you'll see our featured scripture verse. It comes from Matthew 28:19-20. It reads, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." You know, that's good news from God's Word. And again, we'd love for you to have a copy of our Weekly Wisdom, where we not only share our Scripture of the Week, but I have the opportunity to share a note of encouragement to you around a specific topic related to biblical finance. We share our trending podcasts for the week, our recommended reads as well. It's all there in our MoneyWise Weekly Wisdom email. Again, you can subscribe at moneywise.org. Just click Create Your Free Account. Coming up on the broadcast today, some great questions that came in through our MoneyWise community that we'll be addressing today. One on tithing on Social Security. That'll be an interesting question. And how to establish good credit if you've had bad credit in the past. That plus your calls. And I'll weigh in on my favorite college savings tool. That's right. If you have a youngster that you're trying to plan ahead for the cost of college, which happens to be through the roof these days, what's the best savings vehicle? Well, I'll weigh in on that a little later in the broadcast. Your calls as well today, 800-525-7000. We have some lines open. We'd love to hear from you on any financial topic today. All right, let's head to the phones. We're going to begin today with Joe in Indiana. Joe, you go right ahead, sir.
Hi. So my question is, I have roughly $5,500 in credit card debt with an annual interest rate of roughly 25%. Would it be easier to get a small loan and pay that off instead of the credit card?
Yeah, you know, I don't like the idea of paying off debt with more debt. You know, oftentimes it takes the pressure off, which doesn't really cause us to go back and address the underlying issue. You know, often the credit card debt is just symptomatic of a lack of careful budgeting or overspending. Now, it may be as a result of a single event, but oftentimes it is that just lifestyle creep, if you will. And so the best way to address that is to leave it right there and not kind of take the pressure off, which kind of masks the problem, if you will. In terms of where to go with that, if it was less than $4,000, I'd say just snowball it, which means just go back to your budget, find as much margin as you can on a monthly basis, and attack the smallest balance first. If you have multiple cards until it's paid off, get that psychological boost of tearing it up, and then move on down the line. But with $5,500, I think you're right at the level, Joe, where it makes sense to use my preferred option for paying back credit card debt, and that's debt management. It's otherwise known as credit counseling. Essentially, each of these creditors that you have through credit counseling, as long as you're working through a registered nonprofit agency, will offer a lower interest rate. And that lower interest rate combined with a fixed level monthly payment that you can prepay at any time if you want to send more to principal reduction will allow you to pay it off 80% faster. So essentially what happens is the debt stays right where it is. The account is closed. You don't have to close all your cards if you've rectified the problem and you have one that you're only using for budgeted items. But the ones you enter in to the program, which all the creditors participate in, would be closed. Then you pay through, in my recommendation, ChristianCreditCounselors.org. They've worked with hundreds and hundreds of our listeners. It's a very effective strategy. And I would rather see you go there before I would encourage you to get another loan, which is going to have costs associated with it, which may also have a longer term, even though it has a lower interest rate. And I think will often result in us not addressing the real underlying issue. But give me your thoughts and questions on that.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. It's just my thought process was that if I can get a loan with the lower APR, then I might be able to save a little bit of money versus trying to make payments on a credit card and end up spending more in interest.
Yeah, exactly. And obviously, we want to get out of debt. That's the primary objective. The second objective is to do it with as little cost as possible. And clearly, with that interest rate up where it is, especially as rates are heading higher, the Fed's continuing to raise rates, any variable rates are going to continue to move higher as well. And that would include our revolving accounts, our credit cards. So I think, going this route of credit counseling, I would at least explore that first. Essentially, what you do is just reach out at ChristianCreditCounselors.org. They will walk you through exactly how it works, tell you exactly what that new lower interest rate would be through debt management for your particular creditor. And then they can get you set up quickly and easily. You'd establish one monthly payment through them. Again, you could repay it at any time in a larger amount. But I'd at least look at that before you consider getting a new loan. All right.
That's great. Well,
very good.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. We appreciate your call, Joe. God bless you, my friend. Let's see. Heading to Virginia. Gene, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Hi. My question is on tithing. Our church board says 10% is good. I have read in different scriptures, like Nehemiah says, not to rob God.
Yes, ma'am.
And then also it says first fruits. And then you go back, excuse me, you go back to scripture in Deuteronomy, and it says 10%. So now what I want to know is 10%, is that gross of the check that you get? I get Social Security, and I also get a check that I work several days a week.
Yes, ma'am.
I want to know. I don't want to rob God. So
yeah.
What I need to know, that 10%, is that gross?
Yeah.
Is that when you get your check through the mail,
yes,
what it says on your check, where after the government takes off what they need, is it 10% gross, or is it when you get your check and what it says on the check?
Yes, ma'am. Well, it's a great question. And our friend, the late Larry Burkett, used to say, tongue in cheek, depends on whether you want to be blessed gross or net. And then he would get a good laugh after that. But I think, you know, the reality is, I so appreciate your approach that you want to honor the Lord, Gene, with your giving. You want to be found faithful. You certainly don't want to rob God. And as
no,
we look
indeed.
At the... And as we look at the principle of the tithe, you know, we have to go back and realize that in truth, it's an Old Testament concept. And while the word tithe means 10%, there were actually three tithes in the Old Testament that were totaled around 23 1/3%. The tithe was just the beginning. So how do we approach that in, you know, now that we're under the law of Christ, not the law of Moses? Well, I think as we look at that, we realize that Jesus raised the bar. You know, he gave his life as a sacrifice. He talked about we should give as we've been blessed. He said, to whom much is given, much is required. He commanded the poor widow to give her last two copper coins. So I think what we need to do is say, okay, the tithe is a great beginning point, and if we're going to give a tithe a tenth from our increase, I would do it right off the top, whether that's from Social Security, alimony, or a job. And God will honor you trusting him faithfully with that gift right out of the gross. We've got to take a break. You stay on the line. You and I will talk a little bit more off the air, and we'll be right back.
Too busy to catch your favorite shows on the radio? Have no fear, because the AFR app is here. Download the app to have access to live broadcast, music streaming, as well as each podcast. Whether you're at work, at home, or on the go, it's easy to listen to AFR.
The AFR app is available not only for Apple and Android users, but also on Amazon Alexa and Roku.
Download the AFR app today at AFR.net.
Your kids are grown, and you're in a new stage of life. It's a challenging adjustment, but author Dr. Jim Burns says now is the time to make a fresh start. And his new book, Finding Joy in the Empty Nest, will equip you with practical, biblical advice. Learn to manage big issues like aging parents, managing a fixed income, or how to help your children. Request your copy of Finding Joy in the Empty Nest with a gift of $25 or more at moneywise.org.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes be like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Director of the AFA Foundation, Riley Wildman.
Here in the Foundation, we help families just like yours to shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
Riley has served as the director of the AFA Foundation for over a decade.
Give us a call today at 800-326-4543. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
Delighted to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. Taking your calls and questions. We've got some lines open. Pat standing by to receive your call. 800-525-7000. Any financial question today, 800-525-7000. Just before the break, we had the privilege of talking to a sweet caller. Her name was Jean, and Jean was in West Virginia. She actually invited me to come partake of some free samples that she distributes at Costco next time I'm in town, and I will absolutely do that. She was asking a great question just about the tithe, and we talked about just the idea of the tithe, an Old Testament principle, certainly referenced in the New Testament by Jesus, but Jesus raised the bar in our giving. We're to give sacrificially. We're to give after having seen the cross out of gratitude for all that God has done for us. It's not that God needs our money. He gives us the privilege of participating with him. So we give as we are prospered systematically and proportionately. And I think the tithe is a great beginning point. My friend Randy Alcorn calls the tithe the training wheels of giving. But what about the tithe on something like Social Security? Often we can think about, well, that's a portion of that is a return of capital because we've been paying in through FICA taxes. Well, listen to what my friend Howard Dayton, the former host of this program, says about that particular question. He says, quote, "These are all legitimate questions asked by good-hearted people. Personally, I don't drill down trying to estimate how much is considered increase and how much is return of capital investment. In the farming economy of the biblical times, they didn't subtract the amount of the wheat they had planted in computing the tithe. They tithed on the whole increase." Howard goes on to say, "My opinion is that whatever I receive is a gracious gift from God, regardless of what I invested. Giving is really all about nurturing a closer relationship with Christ by loving him for his provision," end quote. And, you know, I think that's the big idea, folks, is that as we demonstrate our trust in the Lord and as we do that through our proportionate giving, a systematic gift, and then our sacrificial giving beyond that, starting with the tithe, the principle of the tithe to the local church, and then giving beyond that, it's incredible that the Lord allows us to participate in his activity through our generosity. And as we experience the joy that comes with that, well, it's only a matter of time before we're reordering our finances to do even more. I hope that's an encouragement to you today. All right, back to the phones, 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open today. If you want to talk about giving or saving, maybe it's your investments in these volatile times. The market about flat today. As Chairman Powell continues to beat this drum that he is going to fight inflation with whatever it takes, and that means continued interest rate hikes on the way. That's been weighing on the markets. The market shrugging that off today and staying about flat. We'll see what happens as the day progresses. All right, Alan in Ohio, you're next on the program, sir. Go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for your ministry. We've been, my wife and I have been so blessed since the days of Larry Bertone and Howard Dayton, and we appreciate you guys so much.
Thank you very much.
My question is, we are in our late 60s, debt-free. We would like to take out about $80,000 out of an IRA to build a house. That $80,000 is about all we would need. My question is, are there any other options, or will we get hammered by taxes?
Yeah, what is your age, Alan?
68.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, so the only provision there related to a home buyer with an IRA is related to a first-time home buyer. That wouldn't apply to you. But that's only to miss out on the penalty, which you wouldn't have anyway at 68. So obviously, this would all be added to your taxable income as you know pull this out. So the question would be, you know, perhaps do you want to spread this out over 2 years, two tax years? So if you pulled 40,000 of it in, you know, 2022, that would be added to your taxable income for this year. And then if you did that again, another 40,000 in January, you could move that into next year so that you're not, you know, pushing a portion of your taxable income into a higher bracket. That would be something to talk to your CPA about. That would be one strategy. Obviously, the other approach is to say, you know, do you have other funds you can pull from, you know, or do you look at taking a mortgage on this and letting that IRA continue to grow? The other concern I have is that I suspect if that IRA has been invested, you, like everyone else listening to this broadcast, have investments that are down quite a bit. And so we're kind of locking, well, we are, we're locking in those losses, making them realized instead of unrealized. And so that would be the other caution I would have is, you know, perhaps it makes sense to let those investments continue to recover over the next year or more. You know, doesn't mean it couldn't go down further from here. It certainly could, especially if we find ourselves, you know, really in a recession. Right now, we're still kind of wondering whether that's going to be the outcome here. But if we do, we could see the market sell off a bit more, but it will recover well ahead of the economy. And I'd hate for you to miss out on that recovery by locking this in. So that might be another reason why you'd want to look at taking a mortgage. But give me your thoughts.
Would there be any other, would we be farther ahead not to take out a mortgage and pay interest, or we'd still have about another $100,000 in the IRA. I guess my question would be, would we be better off not having a mortgage and then paying the taxes over 2 years?
Yeah, I guess from that standpoint, I would just go back to if you've got some unrealized losses because of what's happened in the market over, you know, the balance of this year, well, since January 1st, would you be better off to leave it to try to capture some of that recovery over the next year? Because if you pull that out now, you're locking those losses in, you're out of the market with at least that portion, and you don't have the ability to let that recover. So that would be, I think, the case where you could say, as long as you've got time on your side, meaning this is money you don't need, and you could let it continue to grow for the next, you know, 5 or 10 years until you need it for long-term care or an inheritance when the Lord calls you home, something like that, it probably makes sense to let this recover and go ahead and pay the cost of the mortgage, the interest rate, just given what's going on in the market. Does that make sense?
It does.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I think that would be my best advice. Make sure you get two or three bids, though, and I'd get two mortgage bids from online lenders. Go to bankrate.com to find out who has the best rates and terms right now. It does change. We'll be right back on MoneyWise. Stay with us.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985.
Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Christian parents are on the hook today because they have to identify the threats to the value system that's being taught to their children in public schools. And their job is to protect their kids from these influences.
Tune in for Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, weekdays at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. on American Family Radio.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to our program. God's blessings to you all.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Siri, I need some help.
What's up?
Well, sometimes I feel like I can't get a handle on my money. I mean, where does it all go?
It sounds like you need the MoneyWise app. It's a free app that will help you plan your budget and track your spending.
Oh.
Like the $3 you spend every morning on coffee.
Well, not every morning.
You'll also get access to free biblical financial advice.
Sounds awesome. Let's do it.
Okay, searching for MoneyWise on the App Store. Learn more at app.moneywise.org.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA upholds the truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are worthy of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Sound Mind Investing helps Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors who are just getting started, those making investment choices for a company retirement plan or college savings account, and people getting close to their retirement years. SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information is at soundmindinvesting.org. The website also features many articles about common money management and investing topics. SoundMindInvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
So thankful you're tuning in to MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. Take your calls and questions. We've got some lines open, 800-525-7000. Whether it's your living, that is your lifestyle, your spending plan, your giving, your owing for debt or taxes, or your growing, your savings and your investments, whatever's on your mind today, God's Word speaks to all of it with big ideas throughout the Council of Scripture and specific principles that relate to each of those that we can pull out of the Bible. Well, we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices so you can move forward with confidence. We'd love to hear from you. Again, 800-525-7000. What are some of those big idea principles? Well, I think we have to start with the idea that God owns it all, right? He is the owner. We are the manager or steward of his resources, which makes money a tool to accomplish God's purposes. It's a means to an end, not an end. And that end is most effective when it's something other than us, when we're looking external. My friend Paul David Tripp says that so often in biblical teaching and inside Christian circles around money, we start with provision. The problem with starting with provision, that is providing for our family, which is a biblical idea, but the challenge with that is we never get beyond that because we have an unending list of needs and wants. And really, we should start with our giving, our generosity, realizing that God's grand story is one we can participate in through our giving. What if we started there and asked the Lord, what would you have me to do? And then after we answer that question, try to order our finances to live on the rest. Well, that's a big idea, and it's counterintuitive to what the world would teach us. But there are other practical principles and ideas, like living within our means, avoiding the use of debt, setting long-term goals, having some margin, which, by the way, studies show having a little extra left over at the end of the month is the key to marital harmony with regard to financial conversations. So living within our means, avoiding debt, setting long-term goals, having some margin or some surplus on a monthly basis, and giving generously. Those five big ideas that find their roots in Scripture sound simple, but they're game changers. If we teach those to our kids, if we live those out in our lives and model those, we're going to put ourselves in a position to experience God's best. Now, that doesn't mean we won't have difficult times. The Bible's clear. We will have them. And often they're a time where it causes us to move closer to the Lord. pulls us into himself as we realize our dependence on him and not on ourselves, that we're not in control, that ultimately it's about him as our provider and sustainer. And we can rely on his promises because they're true. But I believe that as we think about those principles and apply them to the day-to-day decisions and choices we're making, it really is a game changer. Hey, I want to share with you an idea about saving for education, but let me give out the phone number because we will be taking your questions today. Here in our final moments of the broadcast, whatever you're thinking about today financially, whether it's your spending plan, your giving, your savings, or your investments, maybe it's even debt repayment, we'd love to hear from you. The number to call, 800-525-7000. We have some lines open, 800-525-7000. Let's talk about saving for education. You know, planning is a key part of our financial journey, and it's an essential element in our stewardship of God's resources. You can't build a house without a blueprint, and you can't build a strong financial future without a plan. Proverbs is full of reminders about the importance of having a plan. I'll read one passage, and there are many. Proverbs 21:5, the plans of the diligent surely lead to advantage, but everyone who is hasty comes surely to poverty. So let's focus on a particular area of planning today that touches families in the area of education. You know, we need to have a clear strategy for paying for the cost of education, whether that's, preparing to homeschool our kids, if that's what we decide, or perhaps private education. Certainly for many, saving for the cost of college, which has continued to rise dramatically. And my favorite tool for saving for educational expenses are what's called a 529 college savings plan. 529 refers to the IRS code section where this comes from. Essentially, these are tax-advantaged accounts that can be used to pay school expenses from kindergarten. Yeah, that's right. You can start using them all the way down to kindergarten, all the way through graduate school. Now, there are two types of these plans. There's the educational savings plan, which is my preferred option, but then there's also the prepaid tuition plan. So the educational savings plan allows families to put aside money for tuition and fees at any qualified educational institution, which is really essentially any accredited institution. And then the prepaid tuition plans let you buy tuition credits at a specific public in-state school at current prices. So you're missing out on that college tuition inflation. Some plans are sold through a broker. Some can be invested in directly by the consumer. And 529 plans are sponsored and run by all 50 states and the District of Columbia. So how do they work? Well, let me unpack this for you a bit. By the way, if you have a question today, we'll be getting those in just a few moments, 800-525-7000. You can set up one or more 529 accounts for your student, only one student beneficiary per account. Think of them similar to an IRA. You can invest between now and when you or your student goes to school or college. You buy shares of the plan's investments on a regular basis, either automatically or occasionally. Family members and friends can contribute to a student's 529, which is often a great tool for grandparents that are wanting to help save for the cost of college. They can drop those funds right into the 529. And by the way, new tax laws actually allow you to use the 529 savings to pay up to $10,000 per year for your student's K through 12 education costs or to pay student loans. So this is a change where you can actually use these funds to cover the cost of private education, which, again, a lot of grandparents want to help with. You can withdraw the money, and here's the key, tax-free to pay for the beneficiary's qualified educational expenses. So think room and board, tuition, fees, books, those types of things. It acts like a Roth IRA in the sense that the money's going into the 529 after tax, but then it's growing in the investments inside the plan, and then it can be pulled out tax-free so long as it's used for qualified education expenses. The 529 savings won't take a big bite out of your financial aid package because it's considered an asset of the child, not a parental asset, which factors in at a much higher level when you're considering financial aid in your expected family contribution, what's known as the EFC. You can check out your state's 529 first, since many state plans offer tax advantages to residents, but you don't have to choose your state's 529 plan. And I would say in many cases, it makes sense not to. If you're going out of state to save, the top 529 choices this year include Ohio, Utah, and Illinois. And those were ranked according to not only returns on the investments, but the investment options and the low fees. But I would recommend a great tool, a website to explore the best 529 for you. And it's called savingforcollege.com. You'll actually be able to put in all of your information, where you live, what the age of your kids are, and it'll recommend and even compare the in-state option for you and the out-of-state options to provide you with what the recommended choice is for you. They do vary from state to state. So savingforcollege.com. This is a great tool to save for college. Check it out today. And we'll be right back with your questions on MoneyWise. Stick around.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. The story of Jonah is a lesson in humility. He was a prophet, and as a prophet, he was supposed to speak the Lord's word. But when the Lord wanted to send him to Nineveh, Jonah tried to run away. What he didn't consider is that the Lord is everywhere. There is nowhere we can go to get away from him. And when he is determined to love you, that is good news. Like Paul says in Romans 8, not death, not life, height, depth, angels, demons, or anything else can separate us from the love of Christ. We might run, but we can't hide. Christ's love remains. His love remains with us no matter what we're walking through. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit GetAnchored.com.
Did you know the MoneyWise listener call-in line at 800-525-7000 is open for business 24 hours a day? It's the number that never sleeps. So when the kids are off to school or you have a few minutes before that power lunch with a client, give us a call and leave your question. We use as many of them as we can on the show. 800-525-7000 is all you need to know to get biblically based answers to your questions here at MoneyWise. Call anytime. You won't catch us napping.
Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I couldn't have had the procedure I needed without CHM's help sharing the bills. That letter from a member displays Christian Healthcare Ministry's purpose to glorify God and serve His people. CHM is the original non-insurance voluntary health cost-sharing ministry, enabling its members to share the cost of each other's medical bills. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
Such a delight to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, taking your calls and questions, 800-525-7000. Hey, before we head to the phones, let me remind you, MoneyWise Media is a not-for-profit ministry. That's right. We do what we do every day with our coaches, bringing you this broadcast, our weekly wisdom email, all of our resources on the website and the MoneyWise app as a result of your listener support. So if you have come to appreciate this program, you consider yourself a part of the MoneyWise community, we would invite you to be a financial supporter of the ministry. You can do so as a one-time giver or as a monthly patron, and you can learn more at moneywise.org. Just click the Give button. Again, that's moneywise.org, and click Give, and we'd certainly be grateful. Thanks in advance. You know, just before the break, we were talking about my favorite tool to save for college, which is a 529 education savings plan. We got a great question that came in through our MoneyWise community, which, by the way, you can participate in at moneywise.org or in the app. Just click on the Community button. She writes, Brenda, how should I help, or should I help my son pay for college, or would that be getting in the way of God dealing with my son? That's an interesting question, Brenda, that I think you need to think and pray through. You know, my view is it really comes down to number one, your financial ability to help? And then number two, what your convictions are around how much help to provide if you have the ability to do so. And some of those considerations might be, do you want your son to have some skin in the game? Meaning, do you want him to, do you think it will result in him developing a stronger work ethic if he knows that he's responsible for part of it, either through grants and scholarships, by working really hard to get good grades, by applying for a lot of scholarships? I've shared recently, my son, who's a great student, he has his mom's brains for sure. he's been in the evenings as a senior in high school applying for scholarships. You know, he'll set a goal. He'll say, Dad, I'm going to try to apply for $20,000 in scholarships tonight. And he'll kind of disappear with, you know, a dozen links and just start applying away. And, you know, that's work that he's putting in to help offset the cost of college. And his goal is to have it all fully funded because of his great hard work and test scores and GPA, but also because of the scholarships and grants that he's earned. So I think that can be an effective way to approach it. Some students may have to do work study. They may have to work in the summers. But I think you need to establish a philosophy, Brenda, about how much assistance you'd like to provide if you're able to, what you're expecting from your son in this case. And then here's the last key. Communicate that early. Don't wait. Let them know, here's our expectation as to your role in this, so you can determine the cost of attendance for the schools that you're looking at applying to, which, by the way, is on every school's website, and determine how much you would be responsible for covering if, let's say, you're agreeing to split it 50-50 up to a certain amount. So I think you ought to give that some thought and prayer and then make that decision and communicate it clearly to your son. Brenda, thank you for posting in our community. We're grateful. All right, back to the phones we go, 800-525-7000. To Gail in Tennessee, you're next on the program. Go right ahead.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi.
Go ahead with your question, Gail. I just had a question. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, and I appreciate your show so much.
Well, thank you.
I am a retired teacher, and I am debt-free. I have about $80,000 in a savings account, and I have adult children that live outside the state. And I was wondering if it would be beneficial to have my burial and all those expenses taken care of so that it wouldn't be a hardship when that would come. I'm in good health.
Yes, ma'am.
But yeah. My mother had passed away last year, and that had been taken care of, and we realized what a gift that was to not have to deal with it at a time of emotion.
Well, I completely understand that, Gail, and can resonate with that idea. Did she go ahead with the prepayment of all of it, or was it really just pre-planning?
Yes. No, it was the payment.
Okay, yeah. And I think that can make a lot of sense. I mean, obviously, it reduces the family's burden during a very difficult time. It allows you to have your personal decisions honored because you may have some strong feelings about certain arrangements. It allows you to secure an affordable price because you're paying in advance, so you can essentially lock in today's prices, and you can choose your funeral home. You know, the downsides would just be, you know, you can't transfer your plan in many cases. So if you change your mind on where you want to be buried, they do, you know, go out of business, some of these, you know, from time to time. There can be some unexpected fees, and they don't always cover all the costs. So I think, like anything, you need to read the fine print. But if you feel like you know exactly where you want to go, and this is a solid, you know, funeral home that's been around a long time, and you feel like you've, you know, made all the decisions, then I think it can be a real blessing to your family to go ahead and not only do the planning involved in it, but actually cover the costs. Even though the money would be available in your estate, obviously that can take some time, and so this would not have the family, you know, relying on the burden of, you know, being able to come out of pocket with those expenses. So I think as long as you're comfortable and confident in the planning you've done and the funeral home you've selected, I would have no problem with you going ahead and doing it, and I think your family would appreciate it.
And taking it out of the $80,000 would be okay?
Yes, ma'am. Is that what I would call your emergency fund?
Yeah, it's my savings account. It's
yeah, okay. And what are your what are your monthly expenses roughly in total?
Well, I'm able to take my Social Security check and save it usually every month. So
okay.
I own my house. My expenses would probably be maybe $1,500.
Okay, very good. And so, yeah, you've got quite a bit there with that $80,000. And the great news is that you're not even having to touch your Social Security. You have other income sources that are covering your monthly expenses. Is that right?
My retirement.
Very good. Yeah. Okay. So I think, I mean, the typical plan, Gail, you'd be looking at would be on the low end, probably $10,000, on the high end, $25,000. Probably somewhere in the middle is what's going to be about right. And so given, I think, the surplus you have on a monthly basis with your Social Security, and given that you've got this $80,000 socked away, I don't, you know, think there's any problem with you going ahead and pulling out to take care of this. Really, the only kind of major expense you could have down the road would be if you needed some sort of long-term care and you needed nursing home care or in-home care, something that was, you know, beyond your monthly income between retirement and Social Security. You know, and at that point you could rely on Medicaid if you needed to, if you were, you know, eroded your assets. So that would be the only probably, you know, real challenge you might have down the road. You know, in terms of a major financial expense.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much.
You are welcome, Gail. Thank you for your kind remarks and for tuning in today and calling. We appreciate it. God bless you. Well, folks, we've covered a lot of ground today. As we begin to wrap up today, a couple of additional questions that have come in. You know, we hear from so many folks each day that have their particular question they want answered. This was a great one from Catherine. She writes to us, "I'm going on a mission trip. Should I be tithing on the donations that people give me for the trip?" And I love that question, Catherine, because clearly you want to honor the Lord with what He's entrusted to you. I would say this would be an exception where you wouldn't. Again, this is not about a legalistic approach. It's ultimately between you and the Lord, and you need to decide that. I don't think there's a wrong answer here. You can never go wrong giving to the Lord. But the reason I would say this might be one of those areas where you don't is because it was given by an individual for a specific purpose. So I would consider this a designated gift. This is not your increase to do with as you choose. This was given by somebody who wanted to fund specifically, in this case, your mission trip. And so I would say to honor that gift and the desire behind the giver, I would take 100% of that money and put that toward the mission trip. That's just my perspective on it, but I would put this not in the category of increase, which is where most of your income is going to go. I would put this in the category of a designated gift. I hope that's helpful to you as you think about handling that money well. Let's see, one more email, and this one will round us out for today. Brian writes to us and says, "How do you establish good credit if you've had bad credit in the past?" And that's a great question, Brian. You know, the key to establishing good credit in terms of your credit score is being an on-time, consistent payer. I mean, at the end of the day, limiting your debt, trying to, over time, pay it off, keeping balances low or at zero, and being an on-time payer is ultimately the key. You know, the big idea behind the credit score is that it's a number that indicates your likelihood to repay as agreed. It's that simple. And in our digital, instantaneous society in which we live, you know, the old days of the handshake and the personal relationship to establish credit are gone, because we want to be able to conduct business at arm's length without knowing the individual in just an instant. And as a result of that, credit scores are more heavily relied on today than ever before. So it's important to try to establish good credit. Really, the key is keeping your balances low, because your credit utilization, if you go up above 30% of your limit with your balances, that's really going to pull you down. Of course, any late payments are really going to work against you. So you want to really focus on being an on-time payer, having a good credit mix, the various types of credit. And by the way, if you've had bad credit in the past, Brian, the last thing I'll say is perhaps look at getting a secured credit card. That's just where you put a certain amount on deposit at a bank or financial institution. Let's say $200 or $300. They issue a secured credit card against it. You use it for one small budgeted item that you pay off in full every month. and that will then be reported to your credit report as an on-time payer. That good on-time payment history that's most recent will really cover up and be more important than even bad late payments from years ago. I hope that's helpful to you, Brian. Thanks for writing. Hey, let me say thanks to my team today, Mr. Robert Sutherland, Devin Patrick, Pat Montague, and Adam Suddeth. Couldn't do it without them. Thank you for being here as well. I hope you'll come back and join us tomorrow. Lord willing, I'll be here looking forward to meeting you at this time. God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.